Gulder,
Boosie,
Splink,
and Craig.
And we'll hear it among decent men too, who barrow dung in gardens under trees.
Will you come deep with me? Because I want to go deep now. I want to enter into some old words, some old ways, old sounds and ways of seeing things that we don't say anymore. Like cooter. Do you know cooter? I'm after cooter in the house for it. It's from cuardach, to search for something. Or gurning. What are you gurning about? From the word get on, to complain. You can also say a gurner, for a moan bag. And then how about cron? Cron is a sow, from the Irish croin, meaning a female animal, or a poor, aged and worn out mother. A cron would have an archon, from the Irish archon, a runty pig or a greedy child. And an archon is the same as a cupsy. Do you know cupsy? Cupsy is a runt, a piglet without a teat left on the sow to nourish it. From the Irish cupálnach, a little piglet fed on milk from a saucer. Cupán, of course, means a cup, but in Monaghan, it means a saucer. And that's what we're here to talk about, saucers. Well, no, not saucers, but Monaghan. These are all examples of the language of rural Monaghan that Patrick Kavanagh was born into and brought up with. A patchwork of linguistic influences that were still heavily soaked in the Irish language. Kavanagh's language was that of the border counties. Phrases such as, I'll do it now while the Gioddam's on me. Gioddam means a wish or desire, from the Irish Gioddam, which really means restlessness, unease or giddiness. Cluedog meant eggs under a broody hen, and a heap of money or turf or spuds, from the Irish cluedog, a small hoard or a clutch of eggs. But the unusual or occasionally indecipherable words from Kavanagh's upbringing are not all from Irish. What about those words I began with? Gulder, Fussy, Splink and Crig. They don't all sound Irish. What about Breard? Breard. That's definitely not an Irish word. It's from the Scots, Breard, meaning the first signs of a young grain crop when it appears above the soil. Or the word bottle, for a handful of straw or hay. That's not Irish. In fact, the Irish for a clutch of straw is munachar. Bottle is Old English or Scots. It's a version of a bundle. A bottle of straw is a bundle. And then there's bizzen. Bizzen means cattle running. That's unlikely to be Irish. It's possibly from the Middle English word bison, a disgraceful spectacle. What's up here? What's happening with the English that Kavanagh would have learnt and spoken at home in Mucker, near Inishkeen, with his father, the cobbler farmer? Where did it come from? You see, Monaghan has a unique history all of its own, and so its language is quite specific and at odds with all around it, especially South Monaghan, where Kavanagh came from. It's an area where three linguistic boundaries converge: Elizabethan English, Gaelic Irish and Ulster Scots, creating a unique linguistic milieu that still survives to some extent, just about.
A Rantar was a racket, a Dalag was a blind, a Kitchug was a small wee cat that traipsed or lagged behind. Asses carried paddocks and Rani meant delay, a Jory was a lost wee creature, a hill was called a brae.
The reasons for all this is that County Monaghan was excluded from the official plantation of Ulster in 1591 because its land ownership had already been reorganised, mainly amongst the Irish themselves, though with a significant number of new English owners too. And their numbers were to increase in the early 17th century. During subsequent plantations, between 1609 and 1618, the English and the Scots came in large numbers to the surrounding counties of Cavan, Fermanagh, Tyrone and Armagh, bringing their language and dialects with them. It had a huge impact on those counties and, of course, gradually seeped across the border into Monaghan too. Just not to quite the same extent. And this created the complex tapestry of speech that Kavanagh inherited and absorbed. For him, a key priority was capturing these natural cadences of his home place.
The half-talk code of mysteries, the wink and elbow language of delight.
Though it has to be said that he didn't quite flaunt the eccentricities of his local language as much as his protégé, Seamus Heaney, did. Yet it was Kavanagh who paved the way by daring to celebrate the thick-tongued mumble of his people. It was his boldness that enabled Heaney, a few decades later, to fully elevate the colloquial speech of Moss Bawn and the Horish and Ballahy in County Derry in poems that are sprinkled with words like dulse, farl, flagger, footit, dallygon. In Kavanagh's poems, you don't so much hear examples of local South Monaghan words like ranya for ferns from Rahanach, or jowri for tears from Jorda, or crav shawling for complaining from Conavshall. These were all words that Kavanagh was familiar with, but at the time it would have been a fair leap to insert them into poetry. Certainly, he went far enough in capturing the tones and the timbre of his neighbours' talk in lines like,
every blooming thing.
He stared at me half-eyed.
And in descriptions as simple and as stripped back as,
the bicycles go by in twos and threes. There's a dance in Biddy Brennan's barn tonight.
For a man whose education was got mainly around his father's cobbler's bench and from farmers in the neighbouring fields, and the few years he spent at Kidnamincha National School, it took courage and vision to see that this simple language had a potency worthy of poetry. There's plenty of down-to-earth language in Kavanagh, just not dialect. There's whins and bog holes and cart tracks.
The straw stuff straddle the broken breeching with bits of bull wire tied.
And we also get made up words like stilly, greeny, niagarously, and Parnassian. But what we don't hear is hokan. A happy pig is a hokan pig. Ranig. Can you not ranig on till morning? From ranig, to wait a while. I gave him the bothered ear. To ignore someone, from an chlós vower, the deaf ear. This unique linguistic dialect is largely absent in the poems. It arose in Monaghan due to Irish-speaking areas still clinging on between the two English-speaking regions south and north of the border. It meant that the two dialects couldn't come in close contact with each other. So you get Northern Hiberno-English being different from Southern Hiberno-English, and then the influence of Ulster Scots and Scottish Scots on top of all that again. It's confusing, but it gives us wonderful gems like schneevy schnavy, a useless good-for-nothing, or a slutherpooch, the same thing, or lanawala, for enough, from lan a vala, the fill of his bag. But what we do get plenty of in Kavanagh are place names. The wonderfully resonant and redolent sounds of townlands, fields and parishes. Cassidy's Hill. Rock Savage. Shan Codoff. Words that bring to life the spirit-shocking wonder in a black slanting Ulster hill.
I incline to lose my faith in Ballyrush and Gorchin. Till Homer's ghost came whispering to my mind.
For him, as he said, naming these things is a love act and its pledge.
The sleety winds fondle the rushy beards of Shan Codoff, while the cattle drovers sheltering in the feathern bush.
Shan Codoff is where Kavanagh's father eventually managed to fulfil his wife's dream of owning a few acres. They bought a poor quality, exposed, north-facing holding there that gave them years of struggle from then on. But as he writes in the poem Auditor's Inn, describing the stream at Connolly's Corner, myself at Anavaki on the Armagh border, he was able to escape the harsh groundedness of the terrain by both rooting himself in it and then allowing his mind to wander. The poem Auditor's Inn continues.
Not sad at all as I float away, away with mother keeping me to the vernacular. I have a home to return to now.
I have a home to return to now. That's what vernacular language gives us. Place names in particular, but those old colloquial words and phrases of our childhood too. Let me leave you with that, with 9 final Monaghan words, for they're dying fast. And if they're not recorded here, then where? Grisha, hot embers left in the grate. Thraic, a turn, whatever kind of a thraic he took. Gallus, joyful or merry, as in the song, Room, room me Gallus boys, and give me place to rhyme. I'll show you some activity around this Christmas time. Bochan, the crook on the hinge of a shed door. Cugger, whisper. Terish, come back. It's said to a cow while milking her, as from the Irish Tararash. Ferk, the haft or the hilt of a knife. I drove it in to the ferk. Mullachar, a big stone, from the Irish mullach, a stony grey field of mullachars. So please take Mullachar and ferk and bachan and gallus and treasure them. Find uses for them, for they're not just the heritage of Monaghan, but of all of us. We owe a debt of gratitude to Kavanagh for highlighting the cultural richness of his home county. And I personally owe a buichas mór to Brian McAvard, who gathered and published all these colloquial Monaghan terms from his childhood and Kavanagh's too. Words like these are encodings of the voices of our ancestors, and they deserve to be cherished. Mavila buichas, agus gadeshiv slán.